every time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rise of the Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
And I'm Brownie. The technical things just don't work.
Chris, we have to let our guests introduce themselves.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's just go back to the top. Go ahead, Jeremy, in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rise of the Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
And I'm Justin.
Oh, what a cluster. We're the worst at this. And I'm Brownie. Cool. Welcome to episode 71 of Rise of the Podcast.
Awesome. Okay. Chris is going to take a minute to recompose himself. So Justin's back.
I am back. Like, I'm so confused. Can people see me on video? Like, because I'm just talking, but.
Yeah, they definitely should be able to.
Yep.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm just making sure because I don't want to get too comfortable. Right?
Oh yeah, there you are on YouTube. Hey.
What's up?
So they get. What does it look like on YouTube, Kara? I'm just curious.
Oh, it's 2 landscape pictures, something.
Oh, yeah, nice.
It's fine.
Oh, very nice. Well, who's that guy in the corner of Justin's shot there?
Looks like Adam Sandler, and Han.
Yep.
Except Han's head.
You get the top of Adam Sandler and the bottom of Han Solo.
Yeah, this is a click thing from a Blockbuster that closed a couple years ago.
Is that where you got that from? Oh, Click the movie?
Yeah. They had it at Blockbuster. I've never done the review of Click, but I got this at a Blockbuster, and if you flip the other side, it's a bunch of horror movies on DVD. Huh. So you can flip it to that side for Halloween, but
nice.
I think this side's more terrifying personally.
The Click side. That's awesome.
It's gonna take forever to get this back in.
So we'll get everyone caught up who's watching. So you were gonna be on the show right before COVID hit. You were gonna be sitting next to Kara and the world to quarantine.
Yes.
And so we were not able to have you on as a guest, but we've got video worked out now.
We did. Mm-hmm. Everything got lucky. Lucky now, because I happened again Elgato the same week we were talking about doing video on it. And I was like, I think I can make this work in high quality because I'm not going to use my crappy webcam. Yeah. But if everything fails tonight, I do have to go with the webcam, so I should be kind to my webcam. No, I was so excited to be on again, and then, like, it was weird. Slowly, everything kept shutting down, but I kept being like, I think it's fine if I come over. I mean, come on. And did I message you the night of?
Pretty much, or the day before, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but I don't know if it's a good idea. I mean, just because the fact that everything is closed, and it's like...
Right.
We don't live together, so it's not like it's a good idea, you know? It's like if we were quarantined together for 14 days in the studio, it'd be fine, but...
Now that would be a video.
Oh my gosh. A video I don't want to experience.
So, how you're a big YouTuber. When you were here last, you brought down some awesome movie collection and went through some stuff with us, and I learned a lot about, like, the awesomeness of owning physical copies of media and all that stuff. And my mom loved you as a guest. She thought you were absolutely awesome, and she's like, oh, he's so passionate about his movies. Walk us through what's been going on. Specifically, your Seth Green video did really well, so fill us in on what's happened with Cinephile since then.
Shout out to Jeremy's mom. Thank you for being so kind. I have a big fan now. So the night I messaged you, I've just locked myself in my basement with all my movies and just been watching them. No, you know, I was kind of hoping this year to be doing a few more non-movie review projects, but I don't know. I feel like with the pandemic and all the situations going on, I mostly held off from moving forward with any other projects and stuck to the movie reviews. And then the Seth Green video, which... that was a weird thing that happened. And I don't know if anybody knows about it, but Mars Needs Moms, if anybody's aware of the movie, Seth Green did the motion capture for it, and he also did the audio, the vocals for the motion capture in the movie. Yep. And when they finished the movie, since the character in the movie is a kid, they were like, you know, Seth Green, who's like 40 years old and an adult, probably not the probably not the best voice to be a kid in this Disney film. So they cut his vocals out, put someone else in it, and the movie bombed. Everyone forgot about it, except for just some fans online. Like, not fans of the movie, but people who really like to dig into box office bombs and bad movies. And there's a guy named Rebel Taxi on YouTube, also goes by Pan Pizza. He's a
nice.
He's, yeah, I've never been able to figure out those two. I think it's I think he's mostly known as Rebel Taxi, but it's like his old code name is Pan Pizza. I forget exactly.
Pan Pizza. You used to get a Pan Pizza when you did the Book It Club with Pizza Hut.
Maybe that's what's referencing.
You know.
He does a couple videos about animation and such, and one of his videos was talking about Mars Needs Moms, and he made the joke that they should release the Seth Green cut, which has the Seth Green vocals. But they didn't. I didn't know that apparently for the last 2 years since I made a review of Mars Needs Moms that I actually had the Seth Green cut with his vocals.
That's because
it was on the Blu-ray. It's on the Blu-ray. You can access it on the Blu-ray, but it's not a language option. It's not even really seen in the special features. It's just like hidden on the Blu-ray.
Right.
And I didn't realize that that's the version I ripped. I was just ripping the disc and I used it for my review. And then I had this version of the movie that had Seth Green's voice. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. I didn't know that that was an audio option. And then 2 years later, I found out, oh, no one realizes this. And then if you put in the Blu-ray, it doesn't appear on the special features in the language selections, nowhere. But the Seth Green cut was found by me 2 years ago. And then there's this, group of people who love Rebel Taxi's videos who are like making it a big joke, like, ah, they should release it, but they never will. And I was like, I gotta make this video and be like, listen, it actually exists. I have it. And I released it on SoundCloud. And then video got in like one day, 10,000 views. And I was like, oh,
that's nuts. So,
that was really that fun was, for me to watch that. I got on in the morning and Chris called me and said to explain the whole Seth Green thing and blah blah blah. So I went and checked out the video.
I watched it when it had like 80 views.
Yeah. And so he called me and told me about it. By the time I got to it, it was just probably tipping 1,000. And I checked on it at lunch and it was over 2,000. And then it was like, yeah, the next day it was 10,000. It was insane. It's so much fun to watch that happen.
Yeah, it was quite an event. That was the highlight of the pandemic.
But I think like your sub count went up by like a couple hundred after that, didn't it?
It went up like 1,000. I got 1,000 from one video. Yeah. And I don't know if they'll like the other content I'm doing because I don't do a lot of excavating of Blu-rays and finding cuts of movies that don't exist. But I don't know. I think I got really lucky there because that was just a situation that nobody else really realized. The movie is so obscure that there's not a lot of people digging into the Blu-ray and just finding this. And that was another thing. Like people mentioned like, you could have just nobody probably owns this movie on Blu-ray. So no one even would have been able to look into it the way you did. And so I got lucky and it was it was exciting. It was cool.
That's super cool. So here's like, I would have like put money on the fact that they never, who would do that? Like, you know, hey, this people who worked in the Halo video game, somebody put in a picture. Like if you could like edge out of the map and somebody put a butt, like a picture of a butt. Funny enough, even though it must have been that guy complained that that commented about the butt comment.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if somebody snuck a butt into Halo, and then somebody in Australia found it, like the MSRP people, or not the MSRP, but the ratings people.
And so ESRB?
They rated the game with a more adult rating because of that for a while, because of this butt that was in there.
Oh,
that guy lost his job because he snuck it in there. So I just feel like, I guarantee you, I just don't feel like Disney would have authorized somebody to put the Seth Green version on the Blu-ray. Is it like, I want to say it's an Easter egg.
It's kind of weird because as an Easter egg, it's possible that if you navigate the Blu-ray menu, it might show up somewhere, but no one, that's a movie that's so obscure that no one's took the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's other there. I mean, speaking of like throwing a butt in the Halo, I mean, there's been more popular Disney movies that have had their own issues home media release. Like, I'm sure you've heard the one about the Rescuers. I think it was the early 90s first VHS release of the Rescuers. If you, there's a scene of them flying on the seagull and going down into the city, mm-hmm. and there's a real quick glimpse, it's hard to catch on the VHS, of a topless woman, just real quick. It's in one of the back windows of the animation. Someone snuck it in there. It's not in the original movie. Someone snuck it into the VHS. It's impossible to see really on the VHS, but there was Laserdisc where you could go frame by frame. And an adult found it and told Disney about it. And there was a major recall on all of those VHSs and Laserdiscs. And Disney's not new to this. They will sneak things in. I don't know, flustered employees. I don't know.
I don't know if they were ever real, but the rumors I remember was there was one in Lion King and there was one in Aladdin.
Little Mermaid.
And then the Little Mermaid on was the cover, VHS the cover.
Yeah.
But
the Little Mermaid one is true. The I Little Mermaid one.
Let me see. Oh, I don't have that one. Dang it. I thought I had that one. I don't.
Oh my gosh, I have something that Justin doesn't have.
I have this one. This is the second release of it, but I don't have the one with the infamous object. I will demonetize
if I say. Were you guys familiar with the story of the Aladdin?
It's not a butt.
Or the Lion King one?
The Lion King one. Is that when Simba goes landing into a field of flowers, the
with Nala
or whatever, like the little dust comes up and it says, it's supposed to say SFX, which means special effects. Or at least that's what the animators tried to say, but more than likely it was spelling out SEX. Right. And that was another one that a lot of adults complained about. And the Aladdin one
is it urban legend?
No, that one's kind of true too, but that one's a little more, I don't know if there's anything there. I think that's kind of, people pushed it too far. They were saying that Aladdin.
I don't know if I know what the Aladdin one is.
The Aladdin one is a whole new world when he reaches down to like get her onto the carpet.
Yeah.
And he leans in or whatever. You're supposed to whisper. You can hear a whisper of somebody say, not Aladdin, said, take your clothes off.
Yes. Something like that. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I don't believe that one. I think that one,
because that one again wasn't in the original movie. I think it was just like on the VHS release or something. But I don't know if I ever confirmed it. I've got the original
VHS as well.
Well, now we're gonna have to fire it up.
Seriously, you've got a VHS. Justin, you've got a VHS player, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, I have that. I have that copy of Aladdin right here. So if you want to pop it in,
the Aladdin one, that one, I think they pushed it too far. I was like, I don't know if that one's true, but the Lion King one is very true and they cut it out of the DVD release. So like that scene is no longer in existence. They reanimated that scene. So now the flowers spell nothing where it used to say
if they actually wrote out nothing.
There's nothing to see here.
Went overboard and like, no, it actually says SFX. And they just spelt it all out. Like, no, actually, it says this.
Okay, seriously though, why would you spell something like that, like with this really kind of abstract font, when it could easily be read as something else?
I think you're getting to the root of the problem. Yeah, Kara.
Because I think the animator did mean it like that. And he's like, no one will catch this. And then he forgot, because VHS was still a little new then. So he probably didn't realize, oh yeah, millions of kids will be rewatching this over and over again with their parents. And someone will catch this.
Well, and here's the thing too. Like, I don't know about you guys, but if there was a funny scene, like when Hook is being chased by, what's the alligator's name? Crocodile's name? Is it Tick or something like that?
Oh, I don't. I've only seen Peter Pan like twice.
Anyway, we thought that scene was hilarious. So my brothers and I, we would just continually hit the pause button because it would go frame by frame at that, or not frame by frame, but you know.
Right. Yeah. Almost.
And you would just go slow motion with it because it's freaking hilarious. So I'm sure somebody may have done that with that scene in Lion King.
No, I'm sure. I mean, like,
so it's. Go ahead, Justin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I can't tell if the audio is cutting out or not. No, I was gonna say with like VHS players. My friend used to have, it was like the Incredible Hulk pilot movie or whatever on VHS. And there's a scene where the Hulk is pushing down this car and destroying this car going down a hill. And he would reverse it and watch him like roll the car back up the hill and like fix it. And
yes.
He would just keep doing that back and forth. And I'm like, yeah, DVD wasn't as fun because he would, when you would fast forward, it would kind of just skip and jumble and not look as good.
Yeah.
That's funny. You know, that's something you don't even think of the collateral damage of that is. Mm-hmm. Well, I've all enjoyed watching, like, you'd fast forward and you could just easily. That was one of the things about VHS. When you did fast forward, it just didn't skip.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times that I was watching a DVD, you accidentally go forward a chapter and then it won't rewind. Some DVDs only let you like mm-hmm. go chapter by chapter. And then you have to go back a chapter, but now it's 2 minutes away from where you left off, and now you have to rewatch 2 minutes of the movie to get back to where you were. And oh man,
or you just pay attention while you're watching, Jeremy, and not have to bother.
VHS, but you could stop watching it and you could come back to it later, and it'd be right at the spot you'd have the night before. And then DVD, you pop, you know, you'd watch it again, and you'd have to go through all the FBI warnings and the trailers and the menu. What was that?
That's gotten way worse. Like, that you can't look, before I switched everything digital. Yeah, you'd have to watch the FBI warning. You won't even, you can't like skip it.
Well, some of them have like the trailers that you can't skip too.
Yeah.
And the Blu-rays were kind of worse about it too, because the Blu-rays, most of the players didn't have a good memory system for popping the disc back in. So some DVDs you could come back to the scene. Some of them you were lucky enough. The Blu-rays almost never do it. At least with digital now, I mean, with like everything's on the timeline, so if you do go back to a digital copy, it starts right where you were at before. But
right,
there are some benefits to digital.
So okay, all right. So that was a big long. That was an intro to Justin. But there's another fun.
that was a 17 minute intro to Justin.
Or down the tangent, but that's not the only thing that has happened in your life. That was a big deal. You got
mail.
Engage without a D.
Engage.
You got engaged
because the D fell off the sign. Yes, I did get engaged. And then
I love that story.
Yes, that has been it's been very exciting. Trying to plan a wedding in a pandemic. Luckily, I mean, we're doing it next year, so we jumped on it real quick because I'm sure a lot of people are rescheduling their weddings this year to next year. So I was like, we got to get jumping on the planning. But yeah, it's been great. Oh, yeah. And what sucks about that, that's another thing that much like going on the podcast, I had plans to do the engagement and then the pandemic ruined it by my original plan was I was actually going to do it at the Zinema and
cool.
Yeah, I had it planned and everything, and we were gonna watch a movie, and then there was gonna be a little video I made at the end credits.
No,
yeah, and it was because I was gonna tell her like, no, there's something after the credits, we have to stay and watch it, and then
I heard there's an end credit scene,
right? Yeah, and then I was gonna show that, but then like the week I was gonna propose, pandemic happened, and then I talked to Matt at the Zinema, and he was like, well, we can wait to do it, you can come and do it as soon as we open up again. And it's like they still haven't opened up again because this has just been going on way longer than anyone expected. So I was finally like, I'm just gonna do it, let's get this. I have to do this because we have to start planning, because we can't put everything on hold forever.
That's right. Rare. Right. No, that would have been so cool to be able to do. I know when I proposed to Kara, I was super excited. There's no way I would want to wait any longer, especially an unknown amount of time.
We dated 8 months. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait. He proposed after 8 months. We got married after 8 months.
Oh, really?
Aw. Yeah. We're still here 5 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was 5 years ago?
That was five years ago. Yeah.
And you only dated for 8 months before that, before you got engaged.
Yep.
Okay. And then, all right. Nice.
And then 8 months. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And then, yeah, now there's a baby on the way.
5 years later.
I had to remind Jeremy that we'd been married 5 years because we decided we would take 3 to 5 years before we started for kids. And mid last year, I was like, hey, Jeremy, 5 years. And he was like, what? Where's the
time gone? Wait a minute.
Time flies.
Time does fly. And so the last thing I was going to bring up really quick before we get on track here was just, and then you guys started a little series together. You guys are
that's so cute. I love it.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
So the whole time we've been together, the one thing that Stella never really got into was the Marvel movies, which I love, but I'm not too pushy about watching certain movies, especially a film series that's gone on that long. She's watched Star Wars, so I mean, we have that
right.
That's right. Solid relationship foundation with you. Yes.
But with Marvel, there's at this point there's 23 movies, and it's just she's seen a couple of them, just because we've seen the Spider-Man movies, and she went to the second Guardians of the Galaxy with me when it came out originally. So there's a couple we've seen, but there's a lot of them that she has. Yeah, the second. I don't know. That's when we started dating. So she came in the second one, and she liked it a lot.
It's funny. It's really good. Yeah.
So then I was like, she wanted to see Black Widow. And I said,
oh, yeah.
Oh, but you got to watch all the other ones before we go see Black Widow. She shows up in a lot of these and she's like, there's 23 movies. And I was like, OK, well, you've been begging me to watch certain movies together, like the Twilight movies or the Nicholas Sparks movies or these random movies that she had watched with her mom back in the day. Some of these
3 Men and a Baby, all that.
Yeah, like, well, there's stuff like that, but there's some of these odder ones, these really odd ones called, one was called She's Out of Control, and it's a movie I'd never heard of, and we watched it together, and it was one of the weirdest, like, movies I had ever seen. It was very, we're going to do an episode on it, but that was one, I'm excited to talk about that one, because that was a weird movie. But yeah, she picked 23 movies herself then. I was like, I will watch a Marvel movie with you. And I will watch 23 movies that you want me to watch that you pick. And of course, we have to find a way to justify this monetarily. So we will make video. And I didn't know if she was ever interested in getting involved in any of the videos. But I was like, would you do this? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And it's kind of been a fun thing we've been doing. And yes, it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. For those of you that are just joining us, we are joined by Justin of Cinephile Studios. We're just talking about one of the series that has been ongoing, and you should definitely go and check out his channel. We are going to talk about Star Wars in a little bit here, we promise. We tend to ramble a little bit about things that aren't Star Wars related, but thanks for joining us. And if you have any questions for us or for Justin about anything at all, feel free to comment.
So, all right, I suppose we can get into it. So Justin, what's the last Star Wars thing that you watched? Did you check out the Mando?
Well, yeah, I watched Mandalorian, but was that the last thing? I think the last thing would have been... Actually, okay, because it is the 40th anniversary, and I am wearing the sweatshirt for Empire Strikes Back. That was the first movie I saw in theaters again, because they did a re-release. So,
oh, I know. Yes. You went to it. We did not get to go.
Yeah, I really wanted to experience the theater again. I also wanted to see what the changes were, how they were handling the social distancing with it and everything. And you can order tickets online. So I kind of made sure to pick a random, like, 4 p.m. showing where there weren't too many people there. We went to a theater where there was like 3 other people. So we made sure that there wasn't like packed with tons of people, even though they are making everybody buy seats, like every 2 seats are blocked off. But yeah, they showed Empire Strikes Back, and it was a good time. Yeah, that was cool to see that on the big screen.
That is so cool. When you were here last time, you know, you had all your DVDs with you, and we have
and the VHS,
and you had the gold edition and all the DVDs, and Kara found out the side art all lined up a certain way to
what can I say?
Do you remember? So was it the newest? What theatrical version was it? Was it the one that came out in 1981?
No. It was
in 1980.
Yeah, 1980, sir. Not 80.
Well, yeah, it's 40 years. Yeah.
I'm disappointed in your math skills, Jeremy.
Well, 83 was Return of the Jedi, right? Yeah.
It was every 3 years. Yeah. 77, 80, 83.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's the Blu-ray version just because that's the one they would have done the 4K transfer for. But that movie's always had the least amount of changes, so you can't really tell anywhere that
they
special editioned it, except for like the scenes at Cloud City, because they've made windows where you can look outside. But I've always liked that version, actually, for the special edition. I think all those changes were really good, actually.
That's pretty cool.
I think most people's complaints were with A New Hope.
Well, McClunky.
Yeah. Or the adding Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No!
That's ridiculous. So did you see... So we're huge Lego nerds, right?
Yes. Of course.
In case you couldn't tell.
I mean, yeah. Legos before we started. I was watching you put the table open.
You're Lego fan? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Did you see the new set Lego announced?
No, I don't keep up with that. But what did they have announced?
It's their... So they have the UCS set. So this is a UCS Star Destroyer. But they're doing a UCS, so Ultimate Collector Series, of the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Oh.
And it comes with... It's huge. It's $350, over 3,000 pieces. It comes with like a Dooback and the Cole Cantina band.
Is it a special edition Dooback or is it a regular Dooback? Yeah, right.
Is that limited edition?
It's going to be highly sought after.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be sold.
It's just not highly affordable as well.
Right. No, yeah, but that's a barrier to entry.
We will be ordering it on the 16th when it releases for VIP members, which... We are.
You are getting it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we're getting
it's
it.
It's too cool.
Awesome.
You can come over and look at it if you want.
Right? Yes. It costs less than this, so.
No, but I was about to say, because I was like, please get it. If you don't, I will give you some money and we go in together and I'll be in the video. But never, if you're going to buy it yourself, never mind. You just do it.
Yeah.
How much was the Starter Story? Somebody asked how much it was.
Oh.
$6.99.
Yeah,
so it's a spicy meatball.
I forget.
It's a lot. We're really trying hard to get sponsored by Lego. I hope it happens. They'll just send us sets.
Okay, they just need to see what we're doing over on Brickable. Because I mean, just saying, we're doing some pretty good stuff over there.
Yeah. Some shameless self promotion.
I know, right? I mean, duh.
There was a set that you really wanted to do. Was it the Death Star, the one that you want to do? But
well. There's a couple.
I
want to
do
now.
The Falcon.
The Ewok Village is the one that I keep on trying to pressure Jeremy to buy.
So the recurring joke is that Chris wants us to get the Ewok Village, and it's hard to get set, so it's a lot of money. And then Kara wants the Falcon, which is the most expensive Lego set Lego has ever
produced.
But
it's beautiful.
It is the most expensive. Isn't it crazy? So from the panel that we did, Star Wars is the first and longest running license Lego has ever procured. Which is just kind of a cool fact.
Yeah, it's been 20 years, 21 years.
1999 was when they started negotiations for it in 98, actually got it in 99.
So just ridiculous.
It's interesting that Star Wars has been the bread and butter of Lego sets, or Lego.
Revived Lego.
Well, and then so the Falcon's what, $800?
The $800
was $800 new.
Yeah, new.
Do they still make new ones, or is it retired?
Yep, they do. And the problem is when you have such a high entry point, so many people are saving up money to get their hands on that set that they feel bad if they probably retire it, because you might have just been, you're like really close to being able to save.
Yeah, I've been saving $1 a month for the last 800 months, and now finally, oh, it's retired.
That's what it feels like.
So that would be a giant
set,
right? Like a really big Lego set, right?
It's bigger than this.
Is it bigger than that? I thought it was about the same size.
It's got more pieces in this by like 1,000.
But it's got like insidey bits.
Yeah, it's got insidey bits and...
Like that, the inside of that is like hollow. You could fill it with
a bunch of Technic pieces.
Stuff. You fill it with like flour or something, I guess.
But. Well, if you pull this off, it turns it into like a handle so you can actually carry this around.
Really?
Can we see a demonstration? I haven't seen it carried like that. I've only ever seen Jeremy do the two-handed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is my new purse.
This is the Risk.
Okay, hold on, Kara. How do I do this?
I don't know. We've never actually taken it apart. Did you see somebody on Bantha Bricks actually made this?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, my goodness. That is such a massive chunk.
I'm mostly excited to see it drop. I want to see the thing drop.
Yeah, that's what I'm pulling for.
This kind of was being held on by that.
Oh, here, let me. There, so you can hear Jeremy now. We got the shotgun mic on.
So here it is.
The thing is massive. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a lot.
We should have hooked up the top down, Chris.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely ridiculous. There's the handle there inside. It's
where's the spout though?
Yeah.
Right over here. Oh, that piece is.
What's coming? Is it going to fall apart, everybody? Live on set.
And then that's
it. Before it does. Good grief.
The thing that it stands on, then. Why is it
a because I've got a candy problem, okay? I'm pregnant.
Sorry, what did you say, Justin?
No, I was wondering if that stand it's sitting on, is that also Lego, or does that come with the set?
Yeah. It is Lego.
Yeah.
It is Lego, actually.
It's built into it.
Oh.
You just knocked out the Tantive locking piece out of the floor there.
Jeremy. Oh,
do you know how long it's been since the Tantive has actually been attached?
Probably a couple months.
Or longer.
It's like in the middle of the carpet.
Oh, now I'm grabbing my phone. Oh, crazy. All
right. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
we lost the piece.
It's all falling apart.
Oh, it's all falling apart. What a tangent!
This is a Return of the Jedi edition Star Destroyer that's been destroyed.
Right. Oh, let's see here. That's got to get clipped in. Oh man, this is impossible to put back in.
It's Von Riggs all over again.
Yep.
I don't need instructions. Half hour later.
We'll just set it there for now. I'm not letting that thing come apart on my watch. So the Mandalorian, have you watched any of the new Clone Wars, Justin?
Oh, I have to watch the whole series.
That's okay. we tell people that they really love the Star Wars lore, but it's because they cut all the timeline and everything. It's hard to go back. And if you watch it in the release order, it's all out of sync. So you have to, we recommend the chronological order.
Right.
We should put the link for that in our description or something.
Season 7 is amazing. That's really good television. So The Empire Strikes Back. That was the most recent thing you saw. Are you excited for the season 2 of Mandalorian?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like the Mandalorian, but it was such a... It was a serialized show, so it wasn't like I was getting too much into the characters, really, besides Baby Yoda being really cute and such.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because I like some of the stuff I've seen. Like, I haven't seen Clone Wars, but I know who Ahsoka is, and I've seen that they are, in fact, bringing her. Is that the first time she's been live action?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So that I'm excited for
they
that. I'm
excited. That's all I have to say.
I'm she's excited my girl. By like the inevitable appearance of Boba Fett, which I'm sure they will do in some way. I'm sure they'll find a way to do it, but.
I certainly hope so.
You want Boba Fett? I'm ready to let Boba Fett. He died in the Sarlacc.
Nah, he got out.
Changed my mind. Didn't get out.
He had a jetpack. He fixed it. Put some gum on it, like in the Rocket.
Yeah.
I really believe that. He's still digesting over 1,000 years. Oh,
yes, Chris. Virtual fist bump from across the room.
COVID fist bump. Walmart fist bump.
Maybe it'll just be a 40-minute episode of the Sarlacc pit eating Boba Fett, and that's it. It's just like, there he is, guys. I hope that, you know, 40 years of waiting to see what happened to Boba Fett. It's just, nope, he is, in fact, still being eaten, and he is.
He's just really old and really annoyed now.
Oh, my gosh.
People are saying that the TV serialized format allows for more time to develop the characters and follow them on different journeys.
Yeah. I love The Mandalorian so much.
Well, IG-11 is amazing.
Yes.
I love his character. I loved Cara Dune. And
they actually pronounced her name right. Thank you, Disney.
I'm just excited for this season. And then the other thing is, I heard, I don't know the truth in it, but I heard that this season is going to be released all at once.
Oh. I highly doubt that.
Yeah, that they're dumping the weekly release.
I was okay with the weekly release, though.
It definitely extended out the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah, I was going to talk about that because I don't have time to binge a whole show like when it drops, and then to also join in the excitement of everyone watching. And apparently, I don't think everyone else does really, because like I compare it to Stranger Things season 3, where when that released, And I did try to binge that whole show the night it came out, but it seemed like everyone talked about that show for maybe 2 days and that was it. But with Mandalorian, since they did an episode every week, that show was talked about for like 2 months straight, if not the reason it's staying popular now. I mean, it was a good show, but it's staying more popular because I think like people actually had to take in each individual episode. They had to sit with it for a week, process it like a normal person rather than binging. To me, it's not normal. I don't know. I like binging comedy shows, but like when it's actually a long form drama, and even Mandalorian, I mean, it's like, I think you got to take time with the episodes. You can't just go, you know.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's something like a comedy that there's not, for lack of a better term, there's no stakes you have to keep track of.
Right.
Whereas like there's like a continually evolving story and character and actions and stuff. Mm-hmm. It can get overwhelming if you just like have to take it all. And the one thing I think that we didn't really talk about is if all the episodes come out in one day, all the spoilers are out in one day.
Well, that's the big deal for me. Is I can't afford to watch everything in one go, and I don't want to get spoiled. And people on the internet, Baby Yoda would have gotten spoiled if they would have released all of the
episodes. Oh, yeah.
Well, he was at the end of the first episode, wasn't he?
No, he reaches towards the bassinet, but you don't see him at the end of the first episode.
Got it. Oh, and then for the week, we had to wait. That was the most, I mean, even for you and I, like, we had something to talk about that week. It was like, oh, what's in the bassinet? Who is it, or what's the deal there?
What if, one of the people in the comments said that in the press releases said that they're keeping the weekly release format.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So it is serialized. Well, that's good. So
I'm totally fine with that, because if you want to binge, you can just binge it on the last day.
Right. Right. That's what your brother refused to watch until.
Yeah, my younger brother didn't watch any of The Mandalorian. He waited until every single one episode was out, and then he watched the whole thing. Yeah. See, here's the thing, though. Like, I feel there's a difference between AJ, my younger brother, and us. Like, we grew up. He's like 4 years, 5 years younger than me. And we grew up where it was every week.
Yeah.
Like we couldn't just binge it. By the time AJ was, you know, old enough to appreciate shows like that, it was Netflix.
Right.
Yeah. We're like the transitionary age between like having to sit through commercials and waiting 167 hours in between episodes. Yeah.
That's just crazy. So, okay, just as a little gee whiz thing for you, we were talking about what the UK cinemas did earlier, Justin, with releasing. They opened the theaters back up, and then they said, here's a list of 250 movies you can air, and it's not going to charge you to air them, to kind of like boost the movie theater industry. Anyways, that was just a little okay, so when The Mandalorian came out in Europe, how do you feel? They also did a serialized release, but the problem is, it had already been aired. All 10 episodes had already come out in the US. So a bunch of people in Europe were mad because people either use like VPNs to watch it or whatever. So, I mean, what do you think about them doing that in Europe? Should they have just released it all in one shot because they're behind? Totally.
So they released it in Europe at a different time rather than, well, they shouldn't have done that. that's the problem. I don't understand this actually. As far as streaming services go, I get that. Like some countries didn't have Disney Plus at the same time America did. But why is it even in some cases that other countries are getting the shows that are owned by the streaming service, like Netflix originals, Disney Plus originals? Why are they getting them at different times and we are?
Yeah, it's not like they have a distributor that they have to work with or something. They are the distributor.
I mean, usually they only do that in the UK because like specific movies – marketing wise they believe, oh, this movie will do better here at this time versus this time, because some countries are getting different movies, or in some cases they just know that their holiday schedule will work better or their weather schedule, you know. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but with a streaming service you don't. Why do you have to do any of that?
Yeah, I don't know. With the proprietary owned stuff, I have no idea. I didn't even realize that like Netflix is different in different countries. I was in on my way over for a work-related trip. I stopped in...
Work-related trip? Well, that involves machine guns.
Yeah. I was at a hotel, and I fired up Netflix, and it had a bunch of different things. And then in the country I was in, also had a completely different Netflix. So it's like Netflix over in Kuwait had Fargo, for whatever reason. The new TV show with Martin Freeman.
Yeah.
But it wasn't in Netflix in the US.
Yeah, I think it was on Hulu here.
You know, so I was weird that you know, it's like US-based programming has different releases in different countries.
Well, yeah, well then part of that is there's your production company, then you have distributors, and right. you might have a US distributor that's whoever, like Warner Brothers or whoever, and then you have some, I don't even know the name of an overseas right. distributor, but you basically sell the rights to that distributor to make more money off of it, and then they decide how they're going to release it.
Right. So like Friends would be an example, right? So it's like somebody in Norway could be on, you know, syndication or whatever over there, like appearing on TV.
Yeah.
So it can't be on a streaming service because it'd be in competition.
I don't know how deep down that drills, but yeah, like the syndication is a very similar thing. Depending on who buys the rights to show it in certain regions is in charge of how it's going to be shown and when it's shown and everything. So it's all complicated. I don't know a ton about it, but I know that it's like needlessly, like outrageously complicated.
So here's my question now. So Disney Plus is out everywhere. Mm-hmm. Is The Mandalorian going to release worldwide now? This October, or well, is it still going to be a US release and then it
will that is a good
well here's the thing. So like, you know, the UK didn't get Mandalorian same time we did.
Correct.
They also didn't get Disney Plus the same time we did.
Right. So and is I that think maybe that that's was why?
The reasoning behind it. Because they've got all of their so now like, that it's, media
right. You, taxes and stuff. So Justin, do you know you need a license to watch TV in UK?
What do you mean by that? Like
so a household, like just like you would get tabs for your car. You have to go get a license to be able to watch TV in your
house. Oh, yeah, I have TV licenses, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's but, per TV.
Yes, and like, they can come and check. And if you have extra TVs or whatever, you can get fined for not having enough licenses for your TV.
Yeah, because it's all government run.
So YouTube and streaming services make it really interesting because it's like a gray area. Is this, you know, it's not production. It's supposed to be amateur. So do you have to pay a license for that? And it's like some people say yes, some people say no, but... Did you find out the worldwide release, Chris, for Mandalorian?
Or yeah, of US? UK and US is October 30th.
Perfect. Nice. Awesome. So they're not going to be behind this year.
Yep.
Now the entire world can talk about Baby Yoda.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's going to be teenage angst Yoda now.
It'll be like Baby Groot teenager.
Everybody's going to be. So the big questions we're excited for is, I'm sure people are going to go nuts about the Darksaber, but... The rumors are Sabine and Ahsoka are going to be in it. And Sabine is an awesome character from the Rebels TV show. Mm-hmm. And so live action versions of
these Ahsoka's going to be old. like 35
Chris, years? Chris, I'm past? Almost 35. Like,
no, no, no. 35 old. Additional
plus,
years.
Plus, oh, the, yeah.
Well, at the end of Return of the Jedi, she's Ahsoka the White at that point.
Why do you think that? Oh, because... The Old Man Rex. Spoiler alert if you haven't
watched. Well, so here's the thing that confuses me, because the end of Clone Wars and the end of Jedi are only like 7 years apart.
Here's what I don't get. What is Ahsoka doing this entire time? Yeah. When all why is she hiding in the background this entire time? Did George not originally plan it?
Oh, I gotta say, like
so, right, I forgot that there's the initial 18 years. So it's 18 plus 5, so 23 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So how old is she approximately by the end of the Clone Wars?
She's not that old.
She's not that old. She's still a teenager in the Clone
Wars. She's 14 in season one.
So then it's like Clone Wars over the course of what, 2 years, 3 years?
Probably.
So she's 16, 17.
16. So she's going to be in her late 30s, early 40s maybe then by the time. That's still like, if you take Obi-Wan's aging, she's going to look ancient. Obi-Wan's only like 55 or something by the time A New Hope comes around.
Maybe she's one of those aliens that doesn't age too much, though. I mean
that's fair. That is fair. That's
true. I mean, Baby Yoda's 50.
Yeah,
right. Baby Yoda is older than Ahsoka.
That's insane. I didn't even think of that.
I didn't even till right now.
And you just want to pinch his cute little green cheeks. You know what I'm saying?
So he would have been born before episode one.
Yeah.
He oh my goodness.
What's everyone going to do when they announce that Baby Yoda's name is in fact not Baby Yoda?
I am more than happy to call him whatever his name is. If it's
me
Jeff,
too. I'd be like, care.
Yeah, good old baby Jeff. I also call him baby whatever his name is.
Right. I just like calling him Baby Yoda because the child just sounds so cold. And
yeah, the child sounds like, excuse me, it's actually the child.
Right? Mm. No joke. No freaking joke.
I just don't want to sound like that guy. We know that it's the child. We know that it's Lego, not Legos.
The child is boring. That's just a boring name. It's a placeholder name.
That'd be like, call. Oh, I guess if we call the Mandalorian the Mandalorian. We don't call him Gray Boba Fett.
You want to know what do people in the Star Wars universe know about Yoda and his species? Like, do people know who Yoda is? Because he was in the Jedi Council. That was kind of a grander scale thing back in the day. So when people see that little guy who looks like Baby Yoda, do they in fact call him, hey, he kind of looks like a Baby Yoda?
That is a really good question. That's fun to think about. That's the type of fun thing that I love about Star Wars is getting into.
Well, it wasn't just Yoda on the Jedi Council. There was Yaddle, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that another, I yeah. Called
Baby Yaddle.
Oh, Lord. Yaddle was not pretty.
That's the noise making to see her like, Yaddle.
I think that's what made episode 2 of The Mandalorian so fun for me was that when they showed Baby Yoda, I was obsessed. I mean, Chris, we did Star Wars every day. We did a daily video about Star Wars facts for a long time. And diving deep into the lore, every time you go to Yoda, even on the Star Wars like data bank, they list the species as unknown.
Yep.
And so the fact that they've never done anything with that lore across like all of the EU or anything, and explain that back.
Well, that was George Lucas specifically didn't want to dive into it either.
You know.
So wait, well, now that's the thing from the old.
Now they've jumped that gap. They've released this new character. And I think it's getting to the point where they have to either name the species or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yodarians.
Not a toy Darian, a yo Darian.
Yeah, yo Darian.
So that's what not even like a Disney decision. That was a thing that was on the when George owned everything too. That he never said what the species was.
No. Yeah, no, and he did. And when he was in charge of the EU and everything, he specifically said he did not want people digging into Yoda's stuff.
Do you think he had Yoda mentioned
at some point? I think he might have, and maybe that's why he's actually been working so much with the Mandalorian people, is because he had a plan for it. That's my theory.
Before he passed it off, I would still love to see the original, like his when he sat down and wrote the entire thing and then cut out 4, 5, and 6 to make into the movies.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a little exaggerated.
I don't believe him. Like
he didn't have the 90-year timeline set out. He had like episode 4 and then like a little bit of prehistory and post-history.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, well, it's too much for one movie, but maybe we can make a series out of it, but I'm going to write it as one movie because if it fails, then it doesn't seem like I set myself up, whatever. So that whole thing is a little blown out.
Have you ever read the various interviews that he's done where he's kind of said, oh, it started out as 12 movies, and then I had to shorten it down to just doing the best movie first because that was the only one that was possible technology-wise. But then it's also been like at other times he's said that's been 9 movies and he said 3 movies. He's always changed his mind. What I really think happened is he didn't get the rights to Flash Gordon, so he made something that was exactly like Flash Gordon. And when it was successful, I think he did kind of plot everything out after that. And I think I do kind of at that point believe he did 12 movies. But when he says like, yeah, back in 76, I wrote all 12 movies. I'm like, no, you didn't. Like,
I'm 100%. I agree with you.
It's very well documented
that he tried going after Flash Gordon. It's super well done and he couldn't afford it. So he's just like, I'm just going to do that. But then make it look like a Kurosawa movie at the same time.
I love have you ever watched the documentary Empire of Dreams?
Justin? Yes. Oh, that is one of my favorite movie making documentaries.
Oh, is it good?
If anybody
is watching has not seen that, go check it out. It was on Amazon Prime for the longest time for free.
It was on Netflix for a while.
It's on Disney Plus.
It's on Disney Plus.
Perfect. Yeah.
I should check that out. I keep meaning to watch it. It's in my to watch pile.
It's seriously so good. It's one of the most, and it's so fun because they add a lot of really cool tidbits. It's not just, you know, oh, this is how we framed this shot. No, it's like they have a lot of interesting, all the tidbits from all the actors are very interesting. And I dig that. It's such a good documentary.
Gabe said he watched it too. So I'm like the only person who hasn't watched it.
Yeah. Gabe on Get Vocal. He's on Facebook.
He is on Get Vocal right now.
No way.
He said the sound quality is better on Get Vocal than on Facebook. So I'm guessing there's probably some compression issues for the retrans. So.
Got it.
I was going to say, I saw Gabe comment on Facebook a while ago, but nothing since. And I'm like, Gabe, where are you?
Yeah. No, I've been staring at his avatar on the Who's Here sidebar.
That's so awesome.
Your avatar looks like Zoidberg. If I look at it like out of the corner of my eye, it's like, who's the Zoidberg guy? It's like, oh, it's Jeremy in his pink sideways profile.
If Jeremy could pick Zoidberg, he totally would.
I would pick Zoidberg. Oh yeah, yeah. There's Gabe. Yeah, that's so cool.
David says you need to read the book George Lucas: A Life. It goes into a lot more detail about how he came. Okay, perfect.
I have read that.
You've read that, Justin?
Oh yeah, that I love that book, and it's like 500 pages, and I read it in like a week. It's very good.
So David, like, listen to the podcast while he's at work. He'll listen to the audio version, and we don't produce enough content for David to stay occupied during his work, so he's gotten into audiobooks, and I'm pretty sure he listened to the audiobook version of it.
Can you imagine if we made 40 hours of podcast a week?
Well, no, I can't imagine.
Oh my gosh.
We'd run out of stuff to talk about.
I feel like 90 minutes is too long sometimes.
No, I don't think. I think it's fine.
Chris loves the 90 minutes.
It's just a nice number. I really like it.
Let's see. Did David comment? I listened to the audiobook. Yep.
He did listen. Okay.
Yep. That's what I figured.
Gabe says he's playing and listening at the same time. Yeah, like, you don't need to look at us, but sometimes it's nice to be like, "Ooh, what a handsome fella.
Yeah.
What a pretty lady." And then there's that mystery voice in the background.
Well, hey, I'm surprised you didn't bust my chops about my hat.
I was going to call you out on it about 40 minutes ago, but then it's like, it's too late.
So, okay. All right. I don't think my mom is watching, but Justin, you'll get a kick out of this too. So my mom loves to give me feedback, and she told me that she's always wanted me to grow my hair out, and I don't have much hair. Like, it's very clear. And so,
shocking revelations.
And everybody else tells me when I get a hair cut short, I look really sharp, and that's when I'm looking best. And my mom's like, you need to get something figured out with your hair. And I was like, well, what if I wore a hat? She's like, absolutely. That's much better. You'd look much better with a hat. More people will watch your channel if you wear a hat. She was brutally honest. And then I thought to myself, Chris, Peter McKinnon wears a hat in his videos.
Yeah, but he lights himself properly.
Enough lights
Like when you go into the wide, and like, so when it's tipped up, it's fine. When you're wearing it where it is normally, we lose your eyes.
I switched to wearing it up because I have the monitor now.
This is super inside baseball now at this point. But this has been a long time. There's two things. It's getting Jeremy to not wear sandals, because his feet are right there. You guys are both wearing like cowboy boot style things.
No, these are just regular boots.
Regular boots, y'all. And having Jeremy not wear his hat. He's tried many times, and I wasn't paying attention at the beginning of this episode.
I snuck it in there. I'm gonna wear it. I'll wear it like this.
I was gonna tell you to clean all that crap on the side of your chair too.
Yeah. Well, we're not getting called out on that thing.
I'm calling this out right now. Anyway, sorry, back to
this. I was gonna say, so Star Wars, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to pull up Star Wars? So, Justin, you are familiar. We do Star Wars leaks. We talk about
Star Wars leaks.
We are a Star Wars themed podcast, so occasionally we have to talk about Star Wars. And what better way to talk about Star Wars than by going to reddit.com/r/StarWarsLeaks and getting a little bit of Star Wars news? Sometimes it's reliable, sometimes it's complete BS, but it gives us something to talk about for 10 minutes. So actually, there's pinned post by the mods.
Ooh, wow, that's new.
That's a big one.
It looks like they're doing a group rewatch of The Mandalorian Season 1. And it's a group discussion for Chapter 1 of The Mandalorian.
Nice.
I kind of want to go back and rewatch it.
Oh, totally.
It's been a while. I know that during when it was first coming out, part of the reason they have that 1 week long break, you can go back and rewatch and like see if you missed any of those details. Mm-hmm. I remember calling to that door was going to kill somebody.
You did. Chris, the first thing he said, he's like, that door is going to get somebody.
So that's pretty cool. So it's like, if you want to go back and rewatch The Mandalorian and talk to people about it, r/StarWarsLeaks, they have pinned pages to go and do that. On September, is this sorted by, did I do the right sort? Okay, whoops, we want to go top of the last week. That pinned one still would have been pinned either way.
But. Yeah.
All right. There are some new images, new promo images for the season 2 of Mandalorian. It's going to be all Mandalorian stuff in here probably.
I'm so excited. Oh
those,
my gosh.
Those promo, were those from Entertainment Weekly or they're from a magazine? And they looked awesome.
Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah. They looked awesome. Justin, did you see those images?
Yeah, I looked through some of them and they're good, but they're definitely like we're hiding as much as we can too though.
And I'm okay with that though, because I hate when movies show you the best stuff in like the trailer or in pictures or something like that. It's like, don't show me everything good. Like save some of it.
Have fun on your show, Richard and Sarah. Thanks for dropping by. We appreciate it. They had to leave to go and do their own thing.
Yeah,
so we appreciate you guys swinging through. Ewan McGregor says that Obi-Wan will be a standalone season.
Yep, it's which just gonna
the
be a
bad news
done.
Keeps on coming for me. I wanted 30 seasons of Obi-Wan. I know, Obi-Wan.
Seriously. I'm just hoping they really... I've heard they're going to, but I like just make it amazing.
So yeah. I have a tangent for Justin here. I saw the Ewan McGregor stuff coming out, and he's looking old now to me. And I grew up watching a lot of.
I'll say like he's got to be in his 50s.
He looks old now. He does. He's got like wrinkles, and he's not like the motorcycling crazy man that he used to be.
Dang, so, just. Put him on blast. Well, geez,
I'm bald. He's old. What's the difference? Everybody's human.
So he's not getting Botox like everyone.
Oh, damn. He's 49 years old, Jeremy. You better be a little bit
nice. Yeah, he's not even 50.
I feel bad now. Born,
hey, right? You know what? I saw Dr. Sleep. He looked great in that movie, even though he looks a little older. He looked great.
Here's the thing. Makeup. Makes everybody
so
better.
In your collection, do you one of my favorite Ewan McGregor movies that's non-Star Wars?
Oh, is the Island. Yes, boom, The Island, so good.
Do you have that in your collection?
I do not. I don't know if I've heard of that movie.
What? Hold on. Oh, simultaneous outrage.
What year did that come out?
2004. Let me look it up. Well,
I'm that's why. That I like. That's a good movie.
So it's Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, she's in it too.
Yes.
My mind is absolutely blown.
Well, you know, in 2004, I was a little 9-year-old. I don't know. I was. Yeah.
I forget that you're younger than us.
Yeah, there's an age gap here, guys.
Okay, well, now.
2005, it came out.
No, I do. I should check that out. I like his movies. And
it's freaking good. Movie.
You're going to love it. I can't even.
The plot of it or anything?
We can't even talk about it, really. I don't think so. I'd rather have you go in blind, Justin. Yeah. You'll appreciate it all the more.
We'll do it then. I'll watch it. We could do a podcast on The Island and just that will be
yeah.
The...
We'll have a. So the next time that you're on, if Chris said as soon as next week, but whenever you're available, when you can come back, we'll talk about that next time. I'm so excited.
What needs to happen is as soon as we're done, you need to go and rent The Island and watch it.
Just David said I can borrow it. David just commented and he said, you have it too?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Everyone's got. I could use a very legal site called Putlocker, but you know. I'll check it out. That sounds awesome. Yeah.
That's just one of the. So David, who's watching right now, used to work at McDonald Rental in Cloquet, the video rental place. And,
Oh, that's awesome.
And so. There was two things that we used to do. They had, while he worked there, we would get free rentals, tons of them. So we could only have like, David, how many could we have out at a time? It doesn't matter. You broke the rules anyways. You probably had way
sell
too many.
Out.
Well, no, he did. That was a good part.
Yeah, McDonald's closed anyways, so he's not going to enjoy.
Well, you can get storage lockers there still.
but we used to watch a ton of movies. And then after that, they came out with like, I don't know how to describe it. It was like pre-Netflix, so you paid $25 a month, but it was unlimited movie rentals or video game rentals.
It's like Movie Pass.
It's like Movie Pass, and you could just have two out at any time. So I would just get two, take them, you know, bring them back, blah blah blah. And McDonald Rental used to rent out seasons of TV by the disc. So if like Dexter is one I rented from them, if you wanted to watch Dexter, if it was split up amongst four discs. You had to like if you didn't have the movie pass, you would have had to you'd only rent one disc.
And there's only ever four or five episodes on those.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, I worked at Blockbuster and they did the same thing there. Is you had to rent it by the disc.
It's so annoying.
That would suck.
Yeah, it did. But anyway, so with the movie pass, you could, you know, have two of the discs out. And then when you're done watching them, bring them back and you had unlimited exchanges. So I crushed so many movies and The Island came out. There was like no real promotion for it. Nothing like that. And then we went and I just got it from McDonald Rental as a movie when it came out. And I like blew me away how good it was with the lack of promotion. It was, I think that's what got me into liking Ewan McGregor as an actor was that movie. It's so good.
It wasn't Kenobi.
Well, 2005. I mean,
ladies, am I right?
Yeah. He had already done all three.
Of the movie. I mean, I liked him as those, but I liked him as Obi-Wan, but it was like what
the movie that took me from just liking him as the character of Obi-Wan to liking him as an actor was Big Fish.
See, I've not seen that.
I never watched Goosebumps for a long time.
Have you seen that, Justin?
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. That's like one of the only Tim Burton movies I haven't seen.
It's
you've got some Ewan McGregor.
Here's what I love about it. I'd say The Island
first, but
it's like a magic realism story, right? So the basic premise is like there's an old guy who's telling the stories of his life, right? Like right before he dies, and nobody believes him. Right, because he's telling stories about how he used to like hang out with this giant and he went on these big adventures and did this and that, right? And it seems like a big fish story, right? Like it's like it just gets wilder and wilder as the time goes on, right? And Ewan McGregor plays the young version of this man who has all these adventures or whatever, and then throughout the course of the movie you start doubting whether or not he's actually making these up or these things actually happened. And it's like it's really freaking cool, and I don't want to give away the like how it resolves or anything, but it's a good freaking movie.
That's super cool.
Been on my watch list for a long time, so I'll have to double feature that with The Island.
Yeah, I'll scrounge up $2 and throw it your way so you can do a review of it.
See, this is what makes me smile and happy about movies, Justin. Like your passion for movies is, I'm excited for what you're about to experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's probably the same thing for like you and Stella and the Marvel movies, or I don't know how she feels. Has there been some that you just love that she showed you
of movies?
Twilight.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, there's been actually with Twilight, I had seen a couple of those when they had come out, but revisiting them, I was like, these aren't as bad as I remember. And even the final movie, which I remembered being laughably bad, that ended up being my favorite of the series. And I was like, I kind of like it. It's goofy, but it's not nearly as bad as I remember it being. Like, it's actually kind of enjoyable. And I kind of wish all the movies were like this one. And there's that other one I talked about, She's Out of Control, which is a very goofy 80s movie that is very riding on sexism too. But like, there was kind of a quality to it, though, where I was like, I'm kind of having fun watching it, though, for just how ridiculous it is and how very 1989 it is. That's the year it came out, and it's like the only year that movie could have came out. And Tony Danza's in it, and I was like, he should have been in more comedies, because this guy's actually kind of funny. Like, he actually has a comedic personality that makes me wish, I should watch more of his movies. And
I loved him in Who's the Boss. I used to watch that TV show as a kid. Like that was a very much so reruns or whatever at that point, but
yeah,
Tony Danza and Melissa Milano, and they're really funny in that movie or TV show. Sorry, TV show.
Yeah.
So now there's a couple other ones. So you know you have your review, or your Patreon where people suggest things to you. Have you watched like Airplane? Do you like that style of movies?
Yes.
You know what? And you do love them.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen Top Secret?
I have not. I want to see that, and I want to see the Naked Gun films, but I watched Airplane during the pandemic, first time watching it, and it was like 5 out of 5 stars. Great movie.
Oh, yes.
Well, so there's now, Hot Shots as well.
Hot Shots, but have you seen Top Secret?
Yeah, on your suggestion. You suggested it to me years ago.
Bevy Taylor's in that one.
Bevy Taylor is in Top Secret. She's the Twi'lek from Star Wars.
Well, she's the one that gets fed to the Rancor.
Yeah. But she's in the movie. So Top Secret's got Val Kilmer in it, and it takes place in the 80s. And he is going to Germany to be a musician there. And it's very much in the style of Airplane. Really funny movie. And then you've got like the Ferris Bueller's Day Off is that style movie. The one I love on that one is Better Off Dead. Have you seen Better Off Dead?
I haven't seen that one either. I've been meaning to see that one because I've seen that one being brought up on some movie sites lately just because, well, Bill and Ted started becoming.
Oh, yeah.
Again. And the actress who was in the first Bill and Ted movie was also in Better Off Dead. So that one was getting talked about too, and I was like, I gotta check that movie out. But I finally saw the Bill and Ted movies to see the third one, so but Better Off Dead is one that's on my list also.
So I work with a coworker, I've told stories about him before, and he's got all these other movies, these classic movies that he's recommended to me. I have not seen Taxi, the one with Robert De Niro, his like breakout role.
Taxi Driver, that is a great movie.
He recommended that one to me. And then I've never seen Harlem Nights. He recommended that one to me. He said it's really, really good. And then, but he taught me or told me about Better Off Dead and Top Secret. And those two movies are some of the movies that make me just laugh the absolute hardest. They are so funny. They are hilarious. I had Kara watch Top Secret. She didn't like it as much as I did, but that's understandable because it's a very unique sense of humor.
Well, you like the IT Crowd stuff too.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, dry humor is pretty awesome.
It is a thank you, Chris. So, Justin, there's a scene in Top Secret. It's not a, like, whatever. It's just they're in a shootout, right? And they're in a barn. And there's 9 panes of glass, and the glass is getting broken out in like a tic-tac-toe format. And there's 1 pane left, and the guy reaches all the way up in the corner and busts that pane to shoot out of it to like complete it. I just simple. The whole movie is jokes like that. It's just
also like in Hot Shots, is like so. Airplane is sort of a like. I actually just watched a thing about how Airplane is a parody of a non-comedy film.
Really,
it's almost like line for line a reshoot. It's really interesting anyway, but and that sort of like really over the top like goofball parody style. So Hot Shots is like a parody of like 80s action movies.
Top Gun.
Yep, and then Charlie Sheen's in it. He's like the main character.
Oh, right. Yep.
And then there's 2 of them. So there's Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2.
Well,
I've seen Part 2.
Are you a Top Gun fan, Justin?
Not really. I wasn't okay, too into that one.
You're not excited about the sequel, like the next one?
I'm excited for the sequel because the Tom Cruise I do love. I just don't like Top Gun too much. But the person who's on board, I think, is a writer or producer of Top Gun, the sequel, is the guy, Christopher McQuarrie, who's been doing all of the Mission Impossible ones, the movies, recent ones. And he did Fallout, which is like the best Mission Impossible movie. That's a very good movie. So just because he's involved, I'm much more interested in seeing the sequel versus the original, which I don't know. I didn't, maybe I'm too young. I don't know. I didn't like first one too much though.
Top Gun was just, I liked Tom Cruise in that one. That was like the first Tom Cruise movie I'd ever saw. But when Kara and I got married, we were doing the whole, you got to watch this, I got to watch this. I had her watch Top Gun and I have not watched it yet.
No, you haven't. So I grew up watching Iron Eagle.
To me, that's like, it looks so silly.
You need to watch it. It's basically the exact same movies. Except he's going to rescue his dad from terrorists instead of...
That's not anything about Top Gun.
It's all about airplanes. Okay. Anyway.
I also was not particularly like, I know that people are obsessed with the original Top Gun. I saw it a couple of times. I'm like, yeah, it's okay.
Oh, I love
it. But I love Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Tom Cruise. I'm trying to collect all his movies.
I mean, it's a Navy movie, but I mean, I love the planes, and it's fun for me to go back and look at all the like old flight equipment stuff. Yeah, I like it for different reasons, but it's cool. Anyways,
Gwen just said Marty watched Lethal Weapon for the first time last
night. Really?
That is
Lethal Weapon's a good movie.
That is the gold standard of action films.
I have not seen it.
Well, so I've
watched all 4 of them multiple times. I love all 4 of them.
They're fantastic.
Okay, I'll watch them sometime. I like a good action movie, so.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Well, I love, and then they're the comedy version of it, but I would consider it as that Rush Hour.
Yeah.
I love Rush Hour.
Jackie Chan in anything is amazing.
Just the relationship between him and Chris Tucker is so funny to me.
There are people that find Chris Tucker irritating, but
I can see that.
But I can see it, but it's not to me. Yeah, he's just
funny
to
me. Just like
Justin, how do you feel about the Rush Hour film?
I haven't seen those either, so
that was probably a little bit before your time too, I
guess. Yeah, that was like late 90s, and that was like right before I started, you know, because I was too young. But any comedy like. I saw the Bad Boys because I wanted to see the new ones. So I did see those movies and they're very ridiculous. And,
oh my goodness. He's like, from now on, that's how you drive. It's not about the French fries. It's about your lack of respect for other people's property. The opening scene of Bad Boys 2 is always one of my, like, I love that scene with the Porsche. And they're like, well, you're having a real bad day. You're robbing a bunch of cops, you know? And then he's like, Martin Lawrence turns around, busts that guy in the face. Hold the fuck on. The movie's amazing. It's so good. That opening
scene. One of my favorite things about the Bad Boys lore is that in the second movie, there's that guy that shows up that's going to take his daughter out, and they are just like going crazy on him and like threatening him. And it's like one, and even though the guy is like not intimidating at all, and he's just very silent, soft-spoken, so that character who is supposed to be like the boyfriend or the guy taking the daughter out, he's in the third movie as the husband now. They're still together. And I was like, that's such a funny kind of like in joke, because if you've watched the whole series, and the other one is the guy who's in prison, and they'll use his computer skills to do some hacking or whatever. And he's in the second movie then, but he's out of prison, but now he has a job with the police department. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a neat little thing carrying over from the other. So that movie has a deep lore, is what I'm saying. Maybe even deeper than Star Wars.
that was one of the last movies I think I saw before quarantine happened, was the new Bad Boys, and I loved it. I watched that in Sonic, and I really liked the new Sonic as well. But the new Bad Boys, I loved the throwback, and it had been 6, 7, 8 years before it was, since I had seen Bad Boys 2, and to see that guy ended up marrying his daughter is really funny to me, that they brought the same guy back. It's the same actor and everything.
Right. Yeah,
it is. It's really funny to see that they ended up together. So yeah, those were all those movies. It's like, you have a treat. You've probably watched more movies than anybody I know. And there's listing off all these ones that you haven't seen. It's like, oh, you've a lot of fun stuff in store for you.
Yeah. Me asking you if you'd seen things makes me feel like I'd actually seen movies. So speaking of, like, so I'd be remiss since we're talking about action films. Have you seen Equilibrium?
Excellent movie.
No, I actually haven't.
That's Christian Bale. Yeah. Yes.
Post-apocalyptic. It's like a very Orwellian society. The thing that that I think will sell it on you is the way that they do gunfights in the future is ridiculous. They basically figured out that like shooting at somebody, you have a pretty low chance of like hitting them. So they teach you like different patterns of just wildly just sort of like shooting, like it's like gun-fu basically.
Yeah, I would say that's what.
And so you can just run into a thing, just shoot in a certain pattern, and it almost guarantees that you're gonna kill everybody in the room. And it's amazing to watch, and it's really freaking good.
What year did that one come out? Is that
also 04, 05, somewhere in that range?
I watched same it in time college frame. for the first time.
I want to say there was a period of my post high school college time frame where DVDs were exchanged around, like, you know, you borrow movies to friends and you'd borrow.
Yeah, you'd have like the big DVD binders and you'd trade stuff.
And I want to say Equilibrium was passed around quite a bit because it was such a good movie. It was
funny because like
big, but
I think the mid-2000s is where like I just kind of, I mean, I was a kid, so I think the only movies we were watching were at home, and they were all older movies that my dad was introducing to us. And then everything since like the 2010s, I've seen almost like every big movie. So I think just the mid-2000s I'm lost on, because I don't know if we were going to the theater enough to see any of these, or, you know, if we would rent something, it would be something older. So weirdly enough, I got to catch up on the mid-2000s.
That golden era of cinema.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I graduated in 05. So this was like the time all these movies were cool. And then, and if you do any type of movie research, I mean, there's subreddits based on like the top 250 movies of all time, and IMDb has their lists, and there's all these lists, right? I think every movie we met, well, I mean, Rush Hour but Lethal Weapon and stuff will probably be on that list. But
yeah,
a lot of the movies we just named off were like almost cult following or whatever you call it.
They didn't have mainstream success, but there's definitely a dedicated group of people that really loves those films.
Yeah, The Island, Equilibrium. Oh, I want to go watch both of those. They're so good.
I do too.
And so it's something you wouldn't know about, I guess, unless someone told you to watch them. So
isn't it weird?
I had no idea about Equilibrium until my guy friends in college were like, "We need to watch this movie." So we all went down to the main area and watched Equilibrium. Excellent movie. I loved that movie.
Isn't it weird, like, with every every decade that there's like more, you know, the next generation and such, there's always going to be more movies you have to catch up on now, like, because they keep making movies and they all are like still making good movies. So I always feel like that. I'm like, oh, I'm just running out of time to catch up on all these other great movies. And I've knocked a lot off from the IMDb top 250 list, and other top movie lists, but it's like you're gonna keep running out, and there's just way more ways to produce movies now, because now you got all the Netflix movies, all the Amazon stuff, and then every person with an iPhone can make a movie now, and it's like, and so many of them are great, so it's like, you gotta, how do you keep up?
Well, Chris introduced me to Peter McKinnon, who's just a like I don't know what you call his style, just like extreme cinematography or something.
I don't know. He's just got like this, whatever. He's a YouTuber photographer guy that started doing like vlogging and like film technique tips and stuff. But he has a very particular way that he shoots his B-roll and stuff.
But he did a video challenge, and some of the submissions for that, it's like you're saying, anybody with an iPhone, these people are shooting incredible like footage and even good stories and stuff, and it's just, they're nobody, they're amateurs, and they're making good content, so it's just overwhelming sometime. But yeah, it's just, movies and cinema are awesome. So
we were on Star Wars leaks.
Oh my god!
I think we only got to two.
Wow. I think, do we only get two in?
Yeah, like, we got to two. Wow! I'm sorry to everybody.
Of rabbit trails.
We lost like everybody because we're like just down this movie. Like it's all relevant. I think
it is relevant.
I'll jump back over to Star Wars leaks. So one thing, I know that you did a review on this, Justin, but my sister messaged saying, what about The Last Unicorn? And that was a movie that just terrified me as a child. And that was like a late 80s animated, like insane movie. So if you want to talk about that for a second, we'll get this pulled back up.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, but I think that was one that I mentioned in the review where I was like, I think I just came to it at too old of an age because I don't really have that attachment to it. And I don't know. Fantasy is a genre that's like really tough for me to get into. I didn't get into the Lord of the Rings until watching them for like the third time. And then I was like, oh, these are really good. But every other time I was like, with fantasy, it just always feels like there's so much like extra tidbits that feel like nonsense, or, you know, why do we need to know this? Or why do we need to know this character? But like a lot of people like that about fantasy, that there is so much lore. And, you know, fair. Not that The Last Unicorn was that complex, but it definitely, I think it's just for me that I'm not the biggest fantasy guy, and I'm also coming at it way too late.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I haven't watched this since I was a child, because I watched it a couple of times and it scared me both times, and I was like, I'm not watching this anymore. But it's one of my sister's favorite movies.
Pull up Star Wars leaks, Chris. Where are we at?
All right, so one of the top posts was a look at the boss's health bar in Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga.
Oh, right. That's up my alley, Lego and Star Wars.
Good old health bar. Nice.
That's the leak?
That's the leak, is the health bar. Sometimes you don't have winners on this, but you got to just deal the hand you dealt. Looks like a little bit of an explanation of Rey's lightsaber and the lightsaber reference collection book here. Is there anything worth reading on this?
I get to see it. Unfortunately, everybody who's watching can't see it. That's why you need a second monitor with your browser screen grab, Chris, so you can show off what you're looking at. That's sweet.
Yes, it is sweet. I can see it.
Well, nothing. Yeah, just basically all the information that you have from the basic film thing. She built it out of the remnants of her staff and all that.
Yellow blade saber.
Yeah, and then the last two. So there's this intro for Star Wars Squadron's Imperial storyline as a leak.
I saw that during the course of the week, Chris. I refuse to watch it because it's coming out October 2nd. I'm so excited for it.
So I don't, like, Jeremy's been, I called him on the phone like while he was building he was working out his closet or something. And he was like, I just need time to not be working and just like play Squadrons or something. I just need Squadrons in my life right now.
I'm so excited for Squadrons. Oh, I love Star Wars ships. And that's, you just play a Star Wars pilot. It's my dream come true.
I'm going to skip past this one. Just more promo images from The Mandalorian. This one's interesting. So this is books and comics. Darth Vader discovers the final resting place of Padme Amidala in Marvel's Darth Vader number 5.
Oh,
that seems like it'd be a pretty spicy interaction.
Right.
I think Bill posted it this week on the Facebook page and it cracked me up, is, it's Kylo Ren reviving Rey, or Rey reviving Kylo Ren. And it shows Vader sitting there and he goes, I was told that couldn't be done. He got screwed because, you know, Padme could have been brought back if Rey was around or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just super, it was super funny to me. I love that. Poor Vader. So
there you go. Those are your Star Wars leaks for the week. I think when we left off at 2, we probably could have just not gone back. But there you go. We got our Star Wars leaks.
No, I had to have you guys.
I'm glad we did. I'm glad we brought it full.
There's been plenty of times where we start and then we end up on a tangent and just never go back. So thank you for bringing that back up.
Was there anything else before we kind of close out? It's a little early, but just any. I loved having you on again, Justin. It's so much fun having guests.
I wish I had more stuff to promote, but I don't just making more videos and hopefully next year I'll have I want to do some different content. Hey, no, someone asked in the chat though, and I'm interested in this too. David asked, or he said you should stream the gameplay when it comes out, maybe for Squadrons, but are you planning on doing that for Squadrons or for at least Lego Star Wars?
Oh, we should. I guess we should just make it a thing. And do that. It'd just be funny. Kara will and I will both be on Lego Star Wars. Yeah. So that the interactions are always pretty funny in those. And then Squadrons I could just for fun. But I mean, if I put a face cam on, it's just going to be me just smiling, like just being super happy.
I might hop on and try Squadrons.
A, Kara always says she hates flying games. And B, she flies non-inverted. So I don't know if...
Oh, I forgot that was the whole.
Of course, you can switch it. But
yeah,
it's. I'm gonna be that guy. It's not the right way to fly.
I can fly however I want to fly.
I should.
Me and Stella talked about maybe possibly streaming our gameplay of Lego Star Wars because we are both big Lego Star Wars game fans, and
they're so amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to know, like, have you played any of the recent Lego games? Because I want to know what your thoughts are on the split screen thing, because I cannot stand that.
The dynamic one where it rotates.
Yeah.
As you play, it takes a while to get used to for sure. I don't know why you don't have options, right? Why can't you either set dynamic split screen or just straight up locked split screen? Are you like horizontal lock?
Well, I just don't know why it's split screen suddenly, because I thought the old way worked fine, but I guess because of some of the new mechanisms in the game, you have to have split screen, I'm guessing.
Have it on. When you're on the screen at the same time, you know, there's just one.
You're talking about like the rubber banding where it would just drag the back person forward.
Right.
When me and Stella hadn't played a Lego game in a long time, we got the Avengers one and we were like, oh, this will be fun because we used to like the older ones and we loved the Star Wars one. And the second we started playing, it started doing that split screen thing and it was like twisting around. I was like, what is going on? I can't do this. And we got so sick of that game.
It definitely takes some getting used to. And here's what's funny, just like with any other, they're different, right? The non-Star Wars ones play slightly differently. Like the objectives, Kara got into the Lego Movie game and the Lego Movie 2 game, and they're just so much different than the other like Lego Star Wars games. And they're definitely not as fun multiplayer, but Harry Potter holds up. So if you and Stella like Harry Potter, the Lego Harry Potter.
We did start the Harry Potter one, and we like the Harry Potter one a lot.
They're good.
Even though the split screen thing is there too.
Yeah.
I missed the Lego Star Wars ones because if you wanted to go like wild in that game, it's just start whipping your lightsaber around. It was like the most fun thing ever. And even the music in the background starts getting like more excited. It's like, da, 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 da. And it's like, oh, this is so fun. This is like putting the adrenaline rush in me.
They
Lego
are
Star awesome. Wars. Oh.
They're really good. I am excited. We should stream the gameplay. I'm just sad it got delayed till 2021.
Yeah. Oh,
well, that'll give us time to actually build a streaming setup for that then, because it's definitely not going to be.
Wait,
no.
I thought it was coming out soon.
No, it got delayed.
Spring 2021.
Yeah. Oh,
2020, you suck, man.
I know. Well, that Cyberpunk got pushed to next year too, didn't it?
Yep. But yeah, so yeah, it totally got moved. Justin, they bumped it to next year. Did you see
I
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say but for games that were released, like I really want to try out the Pro Skater update that they did, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Fantastic. I want to get that and try that out since it's been out now.
I got it and I've loved every second of it, and it's a complete remake, not a remaster, So that's new engine, new everything, but they matched it to the old one perfectly. It is incredible. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I didn't realize how much I love Tony Hawk 1, right? The warehouse you're playing in, you do your first drop in and you're, you know, all in and collecting skate and the hidden tapes and everything. And then like school was a big, like locked into my memory because he ended up playing those ones the most. But I forgot how much I love 2. That's the one with like, you go down to the airplane hangar and you like grind across a helicopter and then it takes up and opens a secret room up. And it's all of those in one game. And then what I love is you collect stat points now to level up your skater, like Tony Hawk or whoever you pick, Rodney Mullen, all these old like big skaters. And the stat points stay from 1 and 2. It's all your one character. So you can play a little bit of 1, go play 2, level up your character more, and then go back to 1 and play the harder levels and have an easier time because you've got better stats. So it's a perfect game. It's excellent.
A ringing endorsement.
It's good.
Yeah, Tony Hawk owes you money now.
You're right. If it was only that easy. Hey, I'll do an awesome shout out. But then the soundtrack is epic too. It's all there. It's a complete package. So I didn't know you were into those games. That's cool.
I think the first two are definitely a little too early for me, but I loved the ones for the Xbox, Underground and American Wasteland. I really liked because that was the one where you could go to different locations and you actually had to like, I guess, steal or whatever skate park parts of a skate park from other places and you would bring it to your own skate park, and that was American Wasteland. And I always thought that was so cool because I was like, we're building our own skate park. And so that one was always a lot of fun. I if they happen to do a remaster update or whatever with that game, or if some of that stuff is in the new
they have
the new updated version,
they have a park maker, a park creator now. And then awesome. There is the one fun thing about that is I love multiplayer games that are change the norm, right? So Battle Royale is big right now and first person shooters haven't really changed much. With Tony Hawk, they have the multiplayer mode, and when you do a trick on a like a ramp or something, you tag it with, it's like changes to your color. So it's not who does the most points, it's who can do the most tricks on the most different objects. And you can like chain them all together and then you paint like half the park. But then they also have, when you log on to multiplayer, they just have it like Super Mario Maker. They've got all the top courses that people have made and you can just hop in any other course and it's very seamless. It's really excellent.
Yeah. I just miss skating games. They're fun.
I never was into skateboarding in real life, but I love the Tony Hawk games. And then Underground was a big one for me because that was the first one you could get off your skateboard and run around. In 1 and 2, you're on your skateboard. And it's like that in the remake. You can't like get off and just walk. You have to actually skate everywhere. So, but it's fun.
I did skateboarding when I was, well, tried to, to the point where like, well, there was a time in my small town of Floodwood of like 500 people where there were so many people who were doing skateboarding that our school actually went and bought like a skate park, like, it was never very well done. It was like an old set that they bought from someone used and they put it on the parking lot of the school. But yeah, like that's skateboarding became big in Floodwood in 2005, 2006, sometime in that area. But I remember everybody had a skateboard. And that, good times.
That is super cool. They probably bought Cloquet's old skate park.
Yeah.
Probably.
Was it purple and white and kind of old
wood laminate color or whatever? But the skate park here has been redone so many times, and then
we have a new skate park now.
One looks super
cool. That looks awesome. That's like, man, to be a kid today.
Right. It's got like a concrete pool and a bunch of other really neat things. And
yeah, like a legit skate park.
Yeah. When they first did the skate park in Cloquet, they put it in the shadiest part of town.
Well, yeah, and then they would always like in this like kind of over by where the old police station was.
Yep.
And then everyone would always get like going like, oh, get out of here, skater kids. Like, why build a skate park and then tell people not skate?
Yeah, it's
no skating at the skate park.
Yeah.
I was driving around West Duluth and I saw that they had like a skate park under the interstate. And I was like, that's so cool. I never know that was even there.
Is it still there?
Yeah, no, I was driving by and people were like on it, and I was like, man, I gotta get back into skateboarding. I'll probably break my knees, but you know, a good time.
David commented that the new skate park is always busy. And he also commented that you sold him on buying the Tony Hawk game. He was on the fence and you sold him.
Oh, it's so good. It is seriously amazing. It's fantastic. You got to go still do the challenges. You got to collect skate, and then you got to do big combo score, and then you got to get high score in the levels. And I remember trying to like when you land now, you can hit right trigger and you'll do a revert, and that links your combo. So I'm a big vert guy. I'm bad at the grinding and street points. I'll go and up and do like a big trick or a couple big tricks chained together. Well, now I can do like a revert when I come down the ramp, and then manual into a grind and get my combo up huge. And
dang, huge somebody scores. Sounds like he grew up in California in the 70s.
So it was awesome. But I read one review about it that made me get it. And somebody said, you know, when they were younger, and it reminds me of you, Justin, that as they would go out and they would work their butt off to even pull off an ollie, or they would, you know, do one small trick. And then in Tony Hawk, you could go in, sit down, and you could do all the things you wanted to do in real life in the game. And just that being able to do that gave you that sense of pride and accomplishment, as EA would say.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right. But it just made those games so cool.
Gwen said she gave up on skateboarding after she biffed it going down to 45.
Well, I just saw a cute video of a guy on Reddit. He brought his son to the skate park, and there was like a 17, 18 year old skateboarder that taught him how to drop in, his little 6-7 year old kid. And just skateboarders always seem intimidating, but they seem like the nicest group of people if you actually get to know them.
Yeah.
It's so true. Like,
yeah, they just gave this bad reputation for some reason. And then like people treat you like crap. You're going to be mad and have attitude going back at them too.
So. Yep. The only thing I'm mad about with Tony Hawk remake is all of the sweet skater vids are locked behind character progression. So you have to beat the game as Tony Hawk to watch Tony Hawk's video, or Rodney Mullen, or all these other skaters and everything. It's like, I just want to go watch their sweet skate vids.
I mean, that's a YouTube is for too.
I know it is. I know. Not locked behind any paywall, but all right. Well, should probably call it, Chris.
We're going to wrap it up.
So Justin, any final words?
What is the longest episode you've done? Is it hour and 30 minutes?
Our very first ever live stream went 2 hours.
Oh, I'm trying to beat it. Well, it's too late.
Okay, so you've got all these personal goals to have the most appearances, to make the longest episode. We'll have a Justin. When you are on for the fifth time, we'll go for more than 2 hours.
We'll go 2.5 hours on appearance number 5.
That's cool. It'll be the Justin record breaking podcast.
Well, so I guess technically, so depending on how you want to judge it, Daryl's might have been the longest because we went 1.5 hours for the podcast and 1.5 hours for the post show.
Well, that's because we were showing off his game and it was epic. Yeah. Where like Chris thought we might just do a couple rolls of the dice and play a round or two.
I forget how competitive you guys are. You guys don't think you're competitive, but you guys just need to beat each other.
I know I'm competitive. I know I'm competitive.
There's just like this innate thing inside of both of you. You must destroy each other. That's how your marriage has lasted so long. Yeah.
Exactly. My mom's favorite part of watching us play the game is Daryl when he's like, okay, I've got to stop playing now. I don't want to be the cause of a divorce here or something. We were.
And I said, no. We hung up this wallpaper together. Nothing can break us up.
Oh, my goodness. So,
Okay.
Might go 2 hours. One last thing.
I was redoing the closet, right? And Kara was upstairs watching me put in some of the final boards. And so it's really fun to use the pneumatic nail gun. So I was like, oh, Kara, why don't you come over and use the nail gun? I'll hold the piece up. So I hold the piece up and she goes to shoot the first nail in, and the air release of the gun blew sawdust right into her eyeball. So it was like, that lasted long. I felt super bad. She puts it down and she's like, got it stuck in her eye, and she's doing the whole thing. Like, where is it? And then lifting her eyelid up and I can't find it. And then she's ramming her finger in there trying to get it out.
All right. So here's the thing, Jeremy. 101, you got to wear safety glasses if you're doing construction.
Well, I have my normal glasses.
Because you're wearing your normal glasses, but you need to establish those safety protocols. But Kara, I want you to use this nailer. Safety first.
Yes.
So it's still your
fault. That was your dad's job.
He was a safety inspector.
Yeah.
He's the reason I know what a circular saw is. And a reciprocating saw. I lived in a house that was under construction for literally 30 years. I know my way around a tool or two.
All right. Well, Justin, again, it was awesome having you on. We're going to throw in a link to your channel. And
yeah, check his channel out. If you like movies, you don't like movies as much as Justin, I promise. But you can go and check out his videos. They're awesome. I strongly suggest making Stella watch Marvel movies and Justin watch. I just love the title sequence of both of those. Like, the Marvel one's so epic, and the one where she makes you watch movies, it's like,
oh yeah,
it's like, man.
It's that Sonic death screen music. That's what it is. From the Sonic the Hedgehog games, I use that like game over music.
Yep. It gets me every time.
Yeah, no, if you pay attention this month, I guess I do have some things to promote. For this month, my Patreon requests are going to be the fourth Harry Potter film, Goblet of Fire, Silver Linings Playbook, the Lego movie, because I finished doing all these Sony animation films. So now Ryan on Patreon is having me do all the Warner Animation Group movies, and that starts with the Lego movie, and that would include all the other Lego movies down the line too. So that's going to be the next reviews, and then the last one is actually my first ever video game review.
Nice. Because
someone requested Night Trap, the very controversial game from the 90s for Sega, the Sega Genesis. It's been re-released for PS4. I don't know if you guys know what the game is. It's like this, it was actually for the Sega CD, and it's this it was a very controversial game because it's about people breaking into the house and you have to like stop them. And I don't know much about the game beyond that, but I know there was some nudity in the game and some violence, and it was very controversial at the time. But they re-released it for the PS4, so I will be reviewing the game.
That nice. Is awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So upcoming things for Justin, go to his channel, check it out, subscribe, tell him we sent you.
Thank you guys.
Oh my goodness. So if you've made it this far into the video, you've made it to the end of the video. So feel free to drop a like to show that you want to see more content like this. You're supporting what we're doing, all that jazz. Comment down below with your responses to anything in here, or if what you want to see us. Oh, we never do a mail segment. Oops. Subscribe if you're not already. Ring the notification bell to be notified every time we go live or upload a new video. Thank you guys so much for watching. And of course,
may the force be with you.